Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, and Conroe, he won't forget. He loved the Lake of the Ozark.
Okay, welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz with us, I hope, and Paul Strasser, who is very patiently waiting for us to put him back on the line, and he's busy up in Sacramento right now, I believe, Paul.
Good morning or good afternoon.
How yes, yes, it is. Thank you. Well, you're on your cell phone, but we can hear you okay. Now, Paul is, I guess you're captain and partner in the Independence, one of the top San Diego class sport fishing boats?
Yes, yes. Okay. Right now, our boat just returned back to San Diego on Monday. We had an excellent 12-day trip. We ended up with two hatches full of fish. We caught over 200 yellowfin tuna, and the tuna, the average of these fish, were 80 to 130 pounds on the average. We did have four fish over 200 pounds, with the largest topping 276 pounds. And that was a 12-day trip, and we are departing on Saturday out of San Diego down to the Lower Banks on a 15-day trip. That's 15-day trip, and hopefully we'll be having another successful trip down there. It's been very, very good tuna fishing down below.
Now, this is the time. This is still the time of the year for the big ones, isn't it?
Oh, this is when you want to go catch big ones. Anytime from November on, from November all the way to April, mm-hmm. is good fishing down below. You know, we are fishing anywhere from 700 miles all the way to 980 miles to the Hurricane Bank. That's mm-hmm. all the good fishing grounds for the big tuna. On the trip before last, we did fish Hurricane Bank, and all the big fish were caught on live skipjack. You throw out a line on 30-pound test with a little spoon, you catch a 4 or 5 pound skipjack, you bring them in, and you put them on your 130-pound outfit with a big hook, and you wing them out there, underhand him out there, and that's all the big 200 to 300 pounders were caught on live skipjack. That was very, very good fish on that trip.
Well, I guess Grizz is still a little bit infirm. I can hear him coughing in the background.
I'm trying to cover it up, John. I'm so sorry about it.
No, don't worry. Don't worry about it. You're doing fine. But, you know, that's now, how far is the Hurricane Bank from Cabo San Lucas?
Well, from Cabo San Lucas, it's 570 miles towards Hawaii. So it's actually out, and the reason they call it Hurricane Bank, the hurricanes, when they come from Puerto Vallarta and they come across to Cabo, if that hurricane decides to move towards Hawaii, it goes directly over the top of the bank. The bank comes out of 4,000 or 5,000 feet of water up to 90 feet.
Holy smokes!
There's no land, but it comes up to 90 feet of water,
right,
within like a quarter of a mile of an area, and we anchor our boat in around 300 to 400 feet of water off the edge. And that's the area that the big tuna are caught. If you get in too shallow water at the Hurricane Bank, you'll start catching a lot of your jacks and a lot of what we call just junk fish. So mm-hmm. we got to stay out in that little deeper water. But those big, big tuna, you know, they hang around that edge.
And so you're not trolling for them. You actually you can anchor up in 900 feet and then just do you chum them up?
Yes. Well, what we do, we anchor in anywhere from 60 to 90 fathoms of water, which, you know, 6 feet per fathom. We anchor the boat. We start a chunk line, which is chunked up. We get smaller, greater tuna, and we'll chunk them up in like one-inch squares. You could catch tuna either on a chunk bait. You can catch tuna fly line and a sardine, which means no sinker with a live sardine. And we also, obviously, we are chumming. We are chumming live sardines to keep the fish around the boat. And we also catch the big tuna using a kite. You fly a kite out, and then your line goes to the kite line, and then straight down with a 5 to 10 pound dead squid.
Now the reason for that is to keep the bait on the top of the water. Is that what the reason is?
Yes, keep the bait on the surface and keep the bait away from the boat, away from the other anglers.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you throw all these different methods. You have guys chunking, you have guys fly lining, you got two guys on a kite, and you might even have a couple helium balloons. So you have an assortment of different techniques on trying to catch the big fish, and all these techniques work. And I mean, there'll be some days where you catch all your huge fish just on chunk bait, because those 200 to 300 pounders, they just swim around the boat eating anything that floats by. They don't really have to. They don't want to use as much energy to catch bait like catch the live sardines. And it's funny, we catch a lot of big ones on just chunk bait, and you can get away with fishing that 130-pound test without a problem with that using a chunk bait.
Okay. Now, besides big tuna, I know that's what everybody wants to go out there and, you know, try and get into the 200-pound club. But what else do you find out there?
Oh, well, out there. You know, we have a very good assortment of wahoo fishing. A lot of times you catch wahoo right before the sun comes up, and during that, wahoo fishing, dorado, and every from time to time we'll also catch a grouper down towards the bottom. But that, and then your different size of the tuna, anywhere from, I mean, this last trip they had a lot of that 40, 50-pound fish, but they we didn't even put those in the count. But most of your, all the fish were that 60 to 130-pounders.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, you get an assortment of wahoo. What you normally tell the guys is get your wahoo tackle ready to go and get up before the sun comes up and start throwing the jigs, because those wahoo come through, boy, and they're one heck of a fighting fish.
Oh, they certainly are. Well, not only that, they taste good. But
You
know, you get one of those on, and you know you got it, especially. Now, you've caught some pretty good-sized wahoo, haven't you, Grizz?
Yeah, my biggest one's 135 pounds in Mag Bay last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big fish, yeah. And you got to be careful with wahoo. They go around that anchor line before you get around there, and they'll saw your anchor line right off. That monofilament or that spectra if it goes fast enough across that inch and a half Samson braid for your anchor, you'll cut that anchor line in half.
Whoa.
I've done that before.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy. I never even thought about it until it actually happened to us. We're drifting all of a sudden. I mean, we're anchored. Like, next thing you know, we started drifting. And I go, what happened? The guy goes, well, those fish went around the anchor line so fast, it cut right through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to be careful with the divers. Because when you're filming underwater, you know, you got that line going through there, and if a diver gets there, I mean, the fish ain't going to attack the guy, but that line goes through there, cut his head right off.
It sure will. Yeah, people don't understand how fast. You think about a wahoo, he's a great fighting fish, but he doesn't have the longevity that the tuna have. But
no, they got three good runs, and it's over. Four if you got a good one.
That's so
true. But a tuna will sit there and fight you for hours.
That's right. And sometimes those wahoo, they bite your jig right next to the boat, and you just pull hard, and, man, sometimes we get a gaff in them before he even has a chance to turn his head.
Oh, well, that's the best way to do it. But the difference, I think, with a tuna, a bigger tuna is such more difficult than, let's say, a 200-pound tuna or 200-pound marlin, is the marlin stays on top of the water, and, you know, it'll come and crash, and you can actually fight it, and you can chase it with a boat. But a tuna, they just go straight down, and there's nothing you can do but try to lug them up.
You get that big tuna. Those big tuna, I noticed the big ones, the 270s, the 370s, they're huge fish. They go out on the surface for a long distance. But you got to remember, you're going to be on this fish for almost 2 hours. And he'll take his 300 to 400 yards line out on the surface. But the last 45 minutes or an hour or so, then he starts, like you say, he starts to sound. But a tuna is so muscular and so much, they have so much energy. They will give you the fight of a life. They don't give up. They will not give up like a marlin. Marlin, over a period of time, they give up and you bring them to the boat. But the tuna is a different species altogether.
Okay.
Yeah, I prefer not to catch them. I've had my butt kicked too many times by tuna.
Yeah,
you remember that, John? We got that 240.
Yep, and that was. I don't know, have much time, but Rick had that on, and what had happened is it was hooked on 50-pound test, so you couldn't horse it. And
right.
You know, poor Rick, it was when it took off. He goes, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Oh, it's pretty big. It's at least 60, 80 pounds." And then after about half hour, the captain goes, "No, it's at least 100 pounds." After 2 hours, he goes, 150 easy. After three hours,
boy,
he says, it's over 200. After 4 hours, his hands were all cramped up. And he couldn't do it. Yeah. It was a yellowfin.
I mean, how big was he?
It came out to about 240. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, Paul,
we're
going to have to let you go, but let's give us some information about how to go get some of these big cows.
Well, we have IndependenceSportsFishing.com. You get on that website, and our schedule. If you want to get the big tuna, you want to go towards November, December, January trips. All those trips, anywhere from 10, 12, and 15 day. Mm-hmm. The 12 and 15 day definitely will put you in the area where they live.
Right. Okay. So, well, we're going to have to let you go. And that website again is?
IndependenceSportsFishing.com. You get on that website, give us a call. We're up here at the Sacramento Show promoting the boat, the business here at the Cal Expo. We'll be up here all the way through Sunday.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Paul. We're going to have to go to a break. We appreciate you taking the time. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll get right back with the Grizz.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Please take the reel.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz on the line with us out of La Paz. And we've just been talking to Paul Strasser from the Independent out of the Sport Fishing Fleet in San Diego. And it's really an interesting thing that they've got going. I don't know how long they've been doing that, but and whoever thought about going 1,000 miles out, but it works, and there are some reasons for them to do it that way. You know, part of the reason is that the bait that they use, it's not available down where they go, so they have to take it with them. And they've got, you know, that bait tanks that hold hundreds of scoops. But, Grizz, is it cold down there this time of the year?
Yes, that's why I got a cold, John.
Oh, no, I mean out the Hurricane Bank and out over there.
Oh, well, it should be. There's been a north wind blowing all the way down through there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gotten pretty chilly. It's getting down into the 60, 65,
yeah.
68 degrees. So it's,
Oh, that's freezing.
Yeah, for us, it's pretty cold.
Okay. Well, I believe we have Tom Matush on the line. And speaking of pretty cold, he's up out of the, Half Moon Bay in the Bay Area. And right now, Tom, you're kind of scrambling around a little bit because
your call
you guys
has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Okay.
818.
Let's try that again. Tom, you still there? Grizz?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's just, you and I will talk just for a second while we get the technical difficulties taken care of.
Yeah, well, you know, John, that happens when you're in radio. You get these little things. They kind of, you have to tweak them out and fix them every once in a while.
Right.
Okay. The world's not perfect, even though we're trying to make it that way.
Okay, well, I do think that we did have Tom on the line. I don't know where he went, but we found him again. And Tom is out of Half Moon Bay. And this time of the year, you know, the weather is not real favorable. But Tom seems to be able to get out most of the time. And even though the rockfish season closes this time of the year, there's still other interesting stuff. Tom, give us an idea what you're doing.
Well, we've still got our crab pots out, so we're still getting Dungeness crab. It's just so we have to run a few more pots or let soak a few days in between running the pots. One thing that's often overlooked by a lot of anglers is sand dabs. Now, you go into a fine restaurant, you might pay $26, $27 for a plate of sand dabs. Well, we can go out and catch these things and send the anglers home with lots of different suggestions for a nice fresh sand dab dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing crab and sand dab. There's also bands of Humboldt squid. They're a little bit harder to find this time of the year. What we have is a totally different year class from anything we've seen in the last 8-9 years. The squid we're catching now are in the 4 to 10 pound range. And the benefit to the anglers is we're not going down 1,000, 1,500.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if anybody has never done that, just picture this. Is that you're going down 900 or 1,000 feet, and you hook up to this. Hey, Grizz, are you going to live? Anyway, you put this line down 900 to 1,000 feet, and you hook the 60-pound squid. Is not really interested in coming up. And you don't use electric reels for those, do you?
No, I I generally offer two speeds, or some people try and use one speed reels. But it's likened to bringing up a 5-gallon bucket full of rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, only that when you get it up to the top, they squirt you, and those tentacles will grab hold of things.
That's one of the absolutely hilarious things when somebody gets a big old ink shot to the chest, an ink shot to the face, something like that, the cameras come out, and that's pretty wild.
Well, they do. They are carnivorous, aren't they?
You know, it's amazing that these things can take a huge chunk out of one another. If they don't have anything to eat, they'll literally eat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we throw them in the fish box, you periodically see these golf ball to tennis ball sized pieces missing out of one of the squid that you take out to clean. Ironically, when this happens in the wild, within 2 hours, that's sealed over and it's a different color. And within 2 days, you can't tell where that particular squid had a big old chunk taken out of it.
Hmm.
Amazing. They're amazing animals.
Okay. And tell us some more about how long is the crab season going?
Crab will go until June 30th. What we do is we leave the pots in the water. Salmon starts the beginning of April. If the salmon are real close to where we have our crab pots, we either move them or pull them out. If the salmon season starts a little weak, we'll leave them in the water. That way we can fish for salmon, pull some crab pots, and at least send the anglers home with some Dungeness crab
mm-hmm.
In place of the salmon that they'll be waiting for the next trip.
And how many Dungeness crab are you allowed to pull?
You can get 6 per person on a charter boat in the Central Coast here.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are probably around two, maybe 3 pounds apiece. So that's a lot of kink. That's a lot of crab.
Yeah, this time of the year they'll be a little bit smaller. That's beginning of the year weights now, pound and a half, 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get the guys too excited, but that'll be more realistic to what we'll be getting this time of the year, clear up into June.
And how far out do you go to set the traps and to get the sand dabs?
Well, the pots are only just inside of 3 and just outside of 4, so it's a real quick trip. For the sand dabs, we're going somewhere between 5 and 15 miles. I've got a spot near the harbor at 5 to 6. I've got a spot at about 11. And once in a while, we'll go out to the edge of the drop-off of the continental shelf, 600 feet. You get these massive swarms of sand dabs.
Mm-hmm.
So that just depends on if we have enough people to justify the fuel.
And the season for sand dabs is apparently you can do that any time and there's no limit on them?
Sand dabs you can fish. There's no limit on the number. There's no limit on the number of hooks. You can fish for them all year long. It's just that we usually target them when there's nothing else to target.
Mm-hmm.
During the rock cod season, we'll go out and catch some sand dabs because it's absolute ling cod candy.
Oh, okay.
A few sand dabs. Okay. Nobody retains them. They put them on the hook.
Okay.
And they say, okay, I got a ling cod coming up.
Okay. No, that's great. I didn't know that because I know that the sand dabs, you can find them pretty much all up and down the West Coast, can't you?
Correct.
Okay.
Anything over nice, flat, sandy bottom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never tried that, and I think that I would like to. And would you just head them and gut them and then just saute them, batter fry them, or what do you do?
One chop right through the head opens up the abdomen, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about scaling them or anything else.
Yeah, they got a nice, smooth skin.
Yeah, the scales are so fine that you can't even tell that they're there.
Hmm.
Just lay your fork on the lateral line, scrape the meat off the side.
Open it up.
With
mm-hmm.
the knife, scrape the knife off the meat off the other side, lift up the tail, and the whole skeleton comes up, and there you are with nothing but plain old meat.
Oh, that sounds great. Now,
nice, sweet, moist. Tremendous food
there. Okay. Tom, we're going to let you go. It's been very, very informative. Give us an idea how to get in touch with a Hooley Cat.
Well, the website is hooleycat.com, H-U-L-I, cat.com or 650-726-2926.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. We appreciate that. Okay, I think that we're going to go up to Kevin, if we've got him on the line with us right now. And Kevin, give us an idea what's happening in your part of the world. Are you seeing some snow and some ice up in the Sierras?
Yeah, well, a little bit of snow. We had quite a bit last week, and it's all melting off pretty nice now.
Okay. And it's one of those days, Chris. Kevin, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Must be the connection. Well, give us an idea about why someone would want to go to Lake Shasta this time of the year.
It's beautiful. There's the use is down. You know, you almost have the lake to yourself. You know, the bass clubs are fishing on the weekends. You know, so I know they're catching some fish out there, and it's still crisp and cold in the morning, but beautiful in the afternoons up here.
Okay. And if someone does want to go up there, you do have some great accommodations for them too, don't you?
Yeah, all of our campgrounds, we have four that are open year-round. They're all, you know, wide open. You can pretty much pick your spot, and you have the whole place to yourself almost right now.
Yes. Well, I've been there, and it is beautiful. And you've got some accommodations. You even have some cabins too, don't you?
We don't have any cabins. We have three yurts up in Lakehead at our Lakeshore East campground that are non-electric shelters. So you can come up, rent one. You don't have to. All you have to bring is your sleeping bag and a pillow, and open the door and camp.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Even this time of the year, if somebody's got the opportunity to do a little bit of traveling around and they want to go see some absolute beautiful country, you know, up in the Redding area, and great, great fishing in the lakes and streams and in Lake Shasta itself. So if someone wants to come and visit you, give us some contact information.
Give us a call at our office at area code 530-275-8113. You can check out our website at ShastaLakeCamping.com, and you can contact us through there also.
Okay. Right. Well, we appreciate that. And the website is, one more time?
It's ShastaLakeCamping.com.
ShastaLakeCamping.com. Perfect. Kevin, you did a great job. We appreciate you joining us today. And you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we've still got the Grizz. I know I can still hear him breathing, so he's still alive.
I'm alive.
So why don't you stick around, Grizz? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with you with Fish Talk Radio.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Everybody always gets his one. Me, I always get my way. When you talk about that 5-pound bass, dirty worm gets a fish. Jump in my John boat.
Back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz on the line, who's been waiting patiently by so that we could put him on line and see what we got to talk about.
Yeah, John, I'll tell you. You know, we've been talking about these squids.
Yes.
And it seems like we're being invaded by these Martians. They're down here, they're up there, they're everywhere, and they're absolutely terrorizing the oceans right now.
You know, up until about 5 years ago, I never even heard of such a thing. So it's not that I'm that know that much, but it does seem as though that the phenomenon seems to be getting stronger.
Well, you know, the weird thing about it is, John, last year, nobody caught a squid. And this year, they're everywhere. They're in East Cape. They're in Cabo. They're in San Jose. I was talking to Mag Bay. They're all over Mag Bay. I was talking to Punta Arriejos. They're there. They're in Loreto. They're here in Punta Arena. They're everywhere, John, and they're just terrorizing all the fish. Because you know they'll eat anything.
Well, you know, I've heard of them even attacking people that are in the water. If there's enough of them, they can drag you down.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when we're filming, when we do not let any of our divers go in there. You've got to have a special, suit that's made out of metal to be able to go in there, because they'll just clamp on you and they start biting. And their mouths are just like parrots. You know, those big macaw
beak
parrots, and they'll just take a chunk right out of you.
Mm. Well, and it is interesting because they, you know, you think of squid being about, you know, 4 or 6 inches long.
No, these guys are 6 foot long and weigh some of them. I think the biggest one we caught last year was like 140 pounds. They're some big boys.
Yeah, 140. Wow, I've seen some big ones, but that's huge.
Yeah, that's what they were catching here at Punta Arena, 100, 125, 140. I think they caught one of them 165, somebody told me.
Okay. Well, give us some more ideas about what's going on in Baja, Grizz, this in the wintertime.
Well, right now, you know, fishing's kind of slow, not because of the fish, because of the wind.
Yeah.
It's calmed down today. I hope it stays down. I haven't even been out to take my new boat out. So maybe by this weekend, we'll have some good fishing. But right off of the point there at Cabo, there's a lot of marlin, a lot of striped marlin right there. I mean, not 500 yards out, and you can have marlin.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few Dorado. The water's too cold.
Right.
They're not around much anymore. But what is taking over the waters right now is the yellowtail. They're moving in, and they're catching them everywhere, and some really good ones. 30, 40, 50-pound yellowtail right now, John.
Well, you know, we've even heard of some yellowtail up in Southern California. I know we were just talking to somebody out of Channel Island Sport Fishing, which is, you know, about 75 miles north of Los Angeles in the Channel Islands. They went out and got a yellowtail. And it's been a really good year. Well, the last year has been a good year for yellowtail, and they are kind of a cooler water fish.
Yeah, well, you know, the yellowtail like the water 68, 72. That's their class of water that they like. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of tournaments on yellowtail this year in La Paz. And also in April, they're going to have a big yellowtail tournament in Loreto.
Hey, Grizz, we've got Pete Haynes on the line, who was with us a couple of weeks ago. He's just all around. Well, I guess he's an expert on almost everything. If you ask Pete, he'll tell you. But
and if he doesn't know, he'll make it up.
Yeah. But Pete, we were just talking about yellowtail.
Are we on the air right now, Johnny? Because I don't want to say anything.
You're on the air, Pete.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Okay, fine. Then I'll hold back from the actual what I really needed to say to you.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that later.
You're a good guy, Johnny. I believe me, anything and everything we can talk about, whatever you want to talk about today, I'm pretty sure you want to talk about fishing. What's up?
Well, we were just talking about the yellowtail down in Baja, and I know that there was a yellowtail that was just caught off at Channel Islands, which is what...
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing. The wind is absolutely howling here at Zuma Beach, so it's got to be out there at the islands as well.
Right.
I bet you it's doing at least 25, 30, maybe 40 knots
right.
coming out of the west.
Right.
So I don't suppose anybody's going to be fishing.
No, not today. Not today. In the next couple of days. But, you know, this time of the year, a lot of people get discouraged in, you know, California because, you know, the rockfish is kind of a staple, and they close
it
down for 3 months. But there's still a lot of interesting stuff going on out there.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, the matter is, I may give your listeners a little heads up on yellowtail fishing. I don't know if you remember, many years ago, a kid by the name of Dick Crank ran the retreat out of Port Hueneme, and it's been quite a few years ago. Anyway, Port Hueneme in those days was all calico bass during the summer. Anyway, he called me up one time, and he says, Pete, we have some yellowtail up off Anacapa, and he says, can you come up here and show these guys how to catch yellowtail, because I'd been catching them down south in San Diego and stuff. And you know how we got them? Instead of using bait, using jigs for bait, jigs to catch them.
Pete?
Anyway, it's a weighted jig, and it's blue and white, and get down there. But at any rate, I went up there and caught 12 beautiful big yellowtail by using jigs, by yo-yoing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, for some of the people who don't know what yo-yoing is, you let the jig fall all the way to the bottom and then crank it as fast as you can up, coming up from the bottom, and the yellowtail will consume it quickly. But here's the key, and I want to advise everybody that's out there that thinks yo-yoing is just straight up and down. This is a big mistake, for the fact that the way to figure this thing out, John, is because those yellowtail will be maybe cruising around out maybe 15, 20 yards, 30 yards away from the boat. What you need to do is you need to cast out.
And then let it drop.
Let your line go all the way to the bottom. And once you get that angle, you turn the handle as fast as you can back to the boat. And if you don't get bit, then drop that angle down and all the way down until you're straight up and down if you haven't gotten bit. If you get bit at a particular angle as you're bringing that jig back to the boat, then get back to that angle, because that's where those fish are suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that worth the call or what?
Well, yeah, and that's, as we know, yellowtail are coming in right now down in Baja because they like they're a little cooler water fish. And
sure.
This is getting to be the time, and I should probably just keep getting better and better for the next couple of months, won't it, Gris?
Yeah, it's just going to keep getting better and bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what your listeners can do, if for instance, a lot of times, and I hate to be redundant with this, but yo-yoing yellowtail is 99% people will just drop the jig down to the bottom, straight up and down, and then turn the handle as quickly as they can. Now, you're going to get bit? Sure you can. But still, if you use the analogy that I just gave you by casting out and letting it go to the bottom and bringing that jig back at angles, regardless of whether you're fishing at Anacapa or down in Mexico or wherever, that's relative in getting more fish, especially with jig fishing.
Pete, can't you just kind of lift the rod all the way up and then drop it down and do that?
No. Just cast it out, let it hit the bottom, point the rod directly at the jig itself, and start turning the handle as fast as you can. They'll jump it. Don't bring the rod up. Don't do any of that stuff. You just turn the handle as quickly as you can. Once the fish hits, then just keep turning the handle, because the more stretch you take out of that line, the deeper that hook gets embedded in that fish's mouth. Then after you've got him hooked good and he starts running, now you bring the rod tip up and start using the rod for, fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's all part of the seminar going on at the Hall Show. Did you know that?
Are you gonna be there?
That's just it. I haven't talked with Mike Lum. For some reason, I haven't gotten in touch. But show, Johnny?
March, I think it's...
When is the show, Johnny?
I'm thinking it's the middle of March, isn't it? I think it's beginning of March. But, that answers that question. It looks like we lost Pete there for a second. But we've still got some more stuff to cover. Gris, we still have you on the line? Okay. Well, okay. Looks like it's you and me, Jim. But this is the season for the shows. There's no question about that. Is it the Sacramento show, I think, is already started, and then they keep moving around. But and then the Hall show is a big one in Southern California, and we'll have Bart Hall on here pretty in the next week or two to talk about that, which is the largest outdoor fishing and boating show, I believe, in the world. That they've got, something 1,200 booths or something like that. With the, it makes it very, very exciting. But anyway, we're going to get The Grizz back on. We're going to take a break in about a minute, and we'll cover back up. Sorry we lost Pete, but he's always good for some tips. There's no question about that. And the okay, but we also would like to mention that we are going to be putting some trips together this year. We've got a fantastic trip in July, the 19th to the 24th. And listen to this. It is four nights accommodations, all-inclusive for $1,500. And the only thing you have to pay for is, you know, your license. And if you enjoy adult beverages, you might have to take care of those. And then, of course, some tips. But, it's a really, really heck of a deal. It's the best thing we've been able to put together in the last few years. So give us a jingle or just go to fishtalkradio.com and just send me an email and we'll get to the information for you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We really appreciate you tuning into us.